You're listening to a podcast hosted by Med Learning Group.
Welcome to our SmartCast Micro Learning Podcast series titled Tackling Barriers to Care in Ophthalmology, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Academics, Research, and Clinical Practice. This series is hosted by Dr. Judy Kim, a professor of ophthalmology and visual sciences and vitreoretinal specialist at the Eye Institute of the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Let's get started with today's episode.
Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Dr. Judy Kim, a retina specialist, and I will be the host of today's podcast entitled Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Retina Clinical Trials, Highlighting Issues and Tactics for Moving Forward. During this podcast, we will explore barriers to minority clinical trial enrollment, strategies to encourage more participation from diverse groups, and strategies to increase diversity in the eye care and research teams. Joining me today is Dr. Basil Williams. Dr. Williams is Associate Professor of Ophthalmology and Vice Chair of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at the Bascom Palmer Eye Institute at University of Miami in Florida. He is also an active member of DEI ad hoc committee of the American Society of Retina Specialists, in which I have had the pleasure of working with him. Basil, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, you are an excellent clinical trialist, and you are also passionate about DEI in clinical trials, so I couldn't think of a better person as a guest for this segment of the podcast. As you know, clinical trials have notoriously been very one-sided when it comes to enrolling subjects in terms of gender and diversity and ethnicity. Most of the participants in these studies are, as you know, white male enrollees. So let me ask you, Basil, first of all, why is enrolling diverse population important in clinical trials?
Right. Well, I think one of the most important things when we think about clinical trials is that the information that we're getting is going to be applicable to the patients that we're treating. And we want to have the most information so we can tell a patient, these are the options for you. These are the ranges that we can expect for how you're going to respond to treatment. And if we don't have representation from different backgrounds in the clinical trials, we won't be able to accurately predict or counsel patients. And therefore, it makes it really challenging to be able to reach all of our patients.
Yes, it is very important so that the findings are applicable to everyone, more generalizable. And I've heard that recently the enrolling minority subjects has stalled, actually, instead of increasing. Is that true? What are your thoughts or what have you encountered?
Yes. So I think it is true in some ways. I think historically, it is not something that we rigorously evaluated because we weren't thinking so much about diversity in these trials. And I think more recently, probably, you know, very recently, we are aware of the importance of diversity. We are aware of who we should be enrolling and thinking about our own unconscious biases when we're accessing patients and when we're talking to patients about participation in trials. And so I think now that we're conscious of it and we can chat some more about some structural changes that will be happening in clinical trials, but the more conscious we are of it, the easier it will be to reach out to all patients and make sure that we're giving everyone an opportunity to participate by invitation from the physicians.
Yeah, I like that you emphasize us being conscious of it. We have to be aware of the problem, right, before we can start attacking and solving it. Then let's go a little more in depth. And what are some of the main barriers to clinical trial enrollment of our minority subjects?
Yeah, this is a fantastic question, and I think these are quite numerous. You know, I think when we think about some of the gender disparities, historically, there were some concerns about pregnancy or fertility, and then there were situations of bias as well, thinking about who should be enrolled in the trials. But when it comes to minorities, there tends to be a number of factors that play a role. So there's some associations with economics, where patients from certain backgrounds are more likely to be from different socioeconomic backgrounds. And that may make the ability to come into the center more challenging. I think we also have to think about our perceptions of patients. You know, there was a fantastic study looking at loss to follow-up out of wills comparing AMD and diabetic populations. And we often think about patients who have diabetes as less likely to follow up, but the loss to follow-up rate was actually similar between those two groups. And so I think if we assess how we view patients, then we might actually realize that patients would be more likely to follow up than we think. And then I think there are some historical challenges as well from a trust standpoint, where different groups, particularly Black Americans, have had some challenges with the healthcare system in the past. And so there are some components of distrust with the healthcare system moving forward. And so clinical trials can be a tough sell in some of those scenarios.
Are there different barriers for different ethnic and racial groups?
Oh, no doubt about it. I think there are cultural barriers in terms of what is typically seen in various communities. I think there are language barriers that even when people seem like they can speak English very well, speaking to someone in their native tongue makes a huge difference in their comfort with the physician, in their belief in the possibilities and opportunities. And also some of the cultural differences can be determined or can change the relationship with the physician based on having family members in the room or kind of who you're talking to or who people trust. And so I think there's a combination of approaches that work. And I think thinking about the patient's individual background and treating them as an individual makes a huge difference in reaching them.
Yeah, I agree. You know, at Johns Hopkins, Dr. William Osler said, good physician treats the disease, great physician treats the person with the disease. So I think it's very important that we treat the person and we talk to the person as individuals. I truly agree that. What about congruency in a physician and a potential patient who may enroll into a clinical trial? The physician looking and speaking the same language, looking alike and then speaking the same language as the potential subject.
Yeah, this is critically important. And I think this is one of the reasons, one of the challenges why we still have some disparities. There's been data in multiple studies that show that racial and ethnic concordance and gender concordance actually improves care with patients. Now, that doesn't mean that if there's a discordance between race, ethnicity, or gender, that you can't provide good care or the patient can't receive good care. But it does show that there is some level of benefit there, whether it be cultural similarities, language similarities, or increasing trust in the relationship. And so I think when we're thinking about clinical trials, it's really helpful to have diverse clinical trialists. So that way, patients will feel more comfortable with their physician if they're from, a different background. I think it's also important, we are not going to change the face of the clinical trialists across the country immediately. However, we do have access to increased diversity in the staff and in the team that works on clinical trials. And this makes a huge difference as well. Sometimes your physician will be from a different background, but one of the technicians, one of the people running the clinical trial, one of the coordinators, if they have concordance racially or gender-wise, then there can be an increased level of trust there. So I think that's also critically important.
Those are all great points. Basil, what other areas can we improve? I know you've thought about this a lot and you're involved with clinical trial designs and so forth. What other strategies have you developed to overcome some of these barriers that we've mentioned and to improve diversity, equity, and inclusion in clinical trials?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of conversations to have up front. First, thinking about as a trial site and as a physician, just making sure you're aware that you want to offer this to all patients. And so thinking about that when you approach a patient. one of the challenges is we think about enrolling patients in trials. We want to be a center that has great follow-up and really does a good job enrolling patients. And so we can sometimes think, well, if this patient isn't likely to follow up, then this might affect how we look as a center or how we do. And so I think challenging that thought process is one thing. Having a robust staff that is able to have conversations with the patient about travel, some of the transportation challenges, or other things will also allow us to find ways that we can help patients come to the trial. Thinking about the benefits that we can also provide patients, where they may be able to get study medications for free as they're enrolled in the trial, as opposed to potentially having to pay co-pays or various other factors when they are not enrolled in the trial, may also help us have this conversation with patients. And then I think taking a big step back, working with our companies that are creating clinical trials to think about having criteria that are more inclusive that will allow people of different backgrounds to enroll. Sometimes we think about certain trials related to diabetic retinopathy or diabetic macular edema, and patients from different backgrounds may have different hemoglobin A1Cs that can affect their ability to enroll. And so being more broad in some of the enrollment criteria can also be really helpful.
Well, Basil, those are all excellent points, and we can go on and on and on, but I hope that the listeners will take this to heart and we can implement some of these going forward as we continue to design clinical trials and encourage all people to participate in clinical trials, which are so important as we get new innovative treatments into our hands and benefit our patients. Thank you so much. Well, we want to thank Dr. Basil Williams for being with us here today. Diversity in clinical research is so important because we know that different ocular diseases affect different patient populations to a varying degree. Encouraging more people from underrepresented minority groups to enroll in clinical trials can help us provide better eye care overall. We can help our patients see for a lifetime. Thank you, Basil, for taking this time to discuss these issues with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a really, really powerful discussion, and I am excited about how much attention this is getting because ultimately it's about the patients, and being able to change the numbers in trials means that all of our patients will get access to better care, and we will have more knowledge about how to better treat patients. So thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. Please join us again soon for another episode in this series discussing strategies to optimize diversity and inclusion in eye care. This podcast was brought to you by MedLearning Group. MedLearning Group is accredited by the Accreditation Council for Continuing Medical Education to provide continuing medical education for physicians. This CME activity was planned and produced in accordance with the ACCME Essentials. And a special thank you to our grant supporter, Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, Inc., who provided an independent medical education grant for this activity.